Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bowman, the executive editor of TravelPulse.com. The Globus family of brands has so many ways that you can bring the world to your clients. From the vibrant world of touring with Globus, the value-driven adventures of Cosmos, or the majestic river cruising itineraries with Avalon Waterways. And the best thing about them is they're always here for you as your partner in profit. Whether it's getting you the high commissions you deserve, making their travel advisor tools as user-friendly and accessible as possible, Globus family of brands wants to send the message to all travel advisors saying, we've got you. What's up, everyone? Today is Tuesday, June 25th. Happy Travel Tuesday and happy National Catfish Day. Here's to hoping the only catfish in your future is the animal and not being fooled online by somebody else. All right. And hey, travel advisors, voting is now open for the 2024 Travie Awards. Head over to TravieAwards.com to cast your ballot on who is the best of the best in the world of travel. We got a fun show for you today. We'll be talking big news, as always, and you can also contact us. podcast@travelpulse.com is the email, and we have a hotline for the show. You can call in and leave a message if you'd like. I love hearing from you. It's 201-381-3017 is the Travel Pulse podcast number. And now joining me on the show is Adam Duckworth, president and founder of Travelmation. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Eric. It is a pleasure to be here, Travel Pulse, friends of Travelmation, and I'm thrilled to be sitting down and having a conversation with you today.
I'm looking very much forward to talking about some summer travel trends and big news, but for anyone listening who is not familiar with you or hasn't seen you speak at many events out there, yeah. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and Travelmation?
Thank you, yeah, for the opportunity to do that. So I was a travel agent in, let's call it 2005, 2006, for a very, very small organization in Ohio, and was just really focusing on selling Walt Disney World itineraries at that point. I was a massive Disney fan. That's kind of how I got into the industry. That organization I was with for a number of years, but really had the desire to go build a brand in the space. I felt like the space was ripe for the digital explosion that it needed. And so Travelmation was started in early 2012. And so we dove highly into social media and digital stuff at that point. And so I started Travelmation in 2012. And Travelmation is travel and animation combined. It kind of helps us keep one foot in the Disney space, which is where we love to play because we're really passionate about it. And then it's allowed us to go full service and not have to develop another brand or name as many organizations do as they get large. And so fast forward, we have been in operation now for over 11 and a half years. We're excited about that, and we just took on our 2000th Travelmation travel advisor last month. So we have 2000 ICs that call us home all over the country. We focus a lot on media. We focus a lot on building brand. We focus a lot on the question is, how can we make this the very best place a travel advisor would ever sell travel? It's what we do a lot of our time. I spend a lot of our time talking about.
Excellent. Well, very much looking forward to discussing some summer travel trends and big news and getting your take on all that. And congratulations to you guys at Travelmation on number 59 on the Travel Weekly's Power List that just dropped.
That was exciting, yesterday. Wasn't it? Yeah. It's always a little unexpected when that comes out. But yeah, we're number 59 on the Power List. That was really exciting to see. Our team was thrilled.
Yeah, and anyone listening can check that more out on Travel Weekly, or we have up a hit on Travel Pulse as well for the top travel agencies out there. So for anyone listening the first time, what we're going to do now is we're going to dive into what has been trending in the world of travel in the last week. And we begin with destination news. And July 4th is right around the corner, Independence Day. The top destinations and worst times to drive came out from the AAA community out there. And the worst time to drive, it kind of depends on where you're located for sure. And it's very subjective. But July 2nd, anytime after 7 p.m. nighttime, and then July 3rd and 4th, if you're hitting the mornings, those are among the worst out there. But air travel wise, TSA, they have set new records of passengers screened multiple times throughout this year, which is very exciting for the air industry. And they set a new record this past Sunday, June 23rd, with 2.99 million passengers, just about 4,000 shy of hitting that $3 million mark.
Yeah, 3 million passenger mark. Wow. Yeah.
So could July 4th actually top that mark? We'll see. Time will tell. Adam, how busy do you think it will?
Yeah. I think it will. I think that in the post-pandemic world, we've been topping it every time there's a high holiday travel season, Labor Day, Memorial Day, whatever. 4th of July, obviously, is a big one where it ever comes up. I think that people are still in the mindset of, I'm not going to miss out on the opportunity to travel like I did for a period of time. So the holidays that come up, I'm going to go and I'm going to take the trip and I'm going to do it. So I think we're going to break the record on July 4th, and I look forward to celebrating it as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. I remember my annual end of year prediction the past couple of years has been, you know, Thanksgiving time, we're finally going to hit that 3 million. And then it was like a random day in May, like the week after Mother's Day. It wasn't even a holiday associated time. TSA set the new record of the year. It was like 2.8 something. And I was like, well, we're surely going to get this at 4th of July time. It just seems inevitable.
We have to.
Like, it, especially with the 4th of July kind of falling on a Thursday this year. It's a weird thing. So you might see it.
Yeah,
that.
When the 4th, it's actually my favorite day for the 4th of July to fall is the Thursday, because you can take a couple of days off. You take Monday, or I'm sorry, you take Wednesday off, you take Friday off, and then you probably got Saturday, Sunday. So it can be a 4 or 5 day weekend if you really want it to be. And so 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays. You know, one of the things I know we're going to talk about next are hot spots for the 4th of July and where we saw people going. And I felt really proud that there were two, one on the domestic list that I call home, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I'm actually staying home for the 4th of July because we live in a condo and we live on the 12th floor and we have this amazing view of the city in Fort Lauderdale. So we get to see once a year, we get to see these 4th of July fireworks going off, and it's a special thing. Our friends come over. It's not to be missed. The only person who hates it is the dog because they hate fireworks, of course. And then, so Fort Lauderdale was on the top domestic destinations. And then I'm going on July 5th for my first time ever to the Calgary Stampede, which is really exciting. So Calgary was on the list. Calgary, Alberta, Canada has been on my bucket list trip since I was knee high to a grasshopper because of Bret the Hitman Hart and the Hart family from the WWE fame. And I've always wanted to go to the Calgary Stampede. So it is the largest rodeo in the world. And me and a couple of buddies are going on July 5th.
That's really exciting, man. That's a massive event. I've got some cousins who live in Michigan, and they've talked about that a few times before. So I'm excited for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's July 4th. Pack your patience. It's going to be a busy week next week.
Yeah, you have to remember, Eric, you just got to pack your patience when you travel. There's no doubt. I am in Los Angeles because I have some media appearances this afternoon. And I traveled from Miami yesterday, and my flight was supposed to leave at 8:30 in the morning, and there was a mechanical, so it did not leave until almost 2 p.m. So that's a long day at the airport, and you go through the emotions of what you're going to experience. You go through panic. Am I going to make it? You go through anger, because how could this be? How can they not have this figured out? Yet you want to be safe in the sky, so you don't want to, you know, be too angry with whoever is helping make those decisions. So there are a lot of things that go into there. I always tell people, it's just important not to panic. You're going to get home. You're going to get out more than likely. They can rebook you. So just don't panic and try not to let that emotion overwhelm you.
Yeah, it can be intense when you hear the word delay, you know, and a lot of people freak out. So it's always a good reminder. And for the travel advisor listeners, to just kind of harp that in, if you have the number of clients you have traveling next week, which I'm sure is very high for many travel advisors out there. So yes, good luck to everyone. And hopefully the delays and cancellations are a very low numbers next week at the holiday time, and we don't have any crazy chaos.
We're hoping.
Yeah. And another destination news, a bit of crazy chaos, depending on how you feel about vacation rentals, is Barcelona. Their mayor revealed a plan that they want to ban tourist vacation rentals
in the short-term
rental markets by 2028. So, I mean, the short-term rentals taking another hit. Your thoughts on this news by Barcelona? Is a full ban the way to go? I mean, what do you think of the short-term rentals' place in the travel industry?
I've never been a massive fan of the short-term rental. Obviously, it doesn't always help the travel advisor, even though there are some organizations that we can partner with and work with, but it's still not easy. We say in our organization, if you must, go ahead and help facilitate the booking, but steer clear of them when you can. There's just so many variables with it because they're not accountable to the type of things that larger brands are accountable to, whether it's a resort or a hotel or even an experience that might be a tour or something like that. So owners can cancel last minute. They cancel the bookings. A lot of people do it to party. So it's a little bit of chaos. Here's the thing. I wish, Eric, that we could figure out how to work together, the travel advisor community and the short-term rental community. And we're not there yet. And potentially there'll be some good folks that help crack that nut over the course of time, because I think that I don't like to ban anything. I'm not a huge fan of banning things. I don't know that it effectively really works. I think it just is, hey, I'm going to make it's like taking a stance and trying to prove a point rather than trying to make a difference. And I don't like those things. I like to begin dialogue and conversation. So my thought when I read this article was, man, how could we work with Spain and the mayor of Barcelona to try to figure out how travel advisors could partner together to make this better? I do think they could potentially ban them, but I don't have a crystal ball. What's my take on it, you asked? I wish we could work together with the short-term rental market in a different way. That's my take.
Yeah, I agree. There's got to be a way to seamlessly get that, you know, relationship better. And I think that's a way that, you know, the short-term rental space can improve and needs to right. improve. I mean, you look at even domestically here, you got New York City cracked down on stuff. Florida's cracking down on that. Hawaii's proposing, you know, getting rid of them and Maui. So, I mean, they're taking a hit, you know, and they have a place in the travel industry because consumers are just synonymous with that over the last really, you know, 5 to 7 years here. And I think,
yeah, I've used them, not a lot, but yeah. I've used them. I had a great short-term rental that we had. Caitlin and I went up to Asheville, North Carolina in the mountains, and we rented a great house for like 4 days. Now, of course, we didn't destroy it and aren't partiers and didn't disrupt the neighborhood. However, you know, some folks are but I've used it before. So I feel like there's got to be some kind of thing that we can figure out here for the love of goodness. We got to be able to sit in a room and figure something out, but right, I don't have the answer to that one.
Agree. Yeah. And I think Hawaii might be a good starting point, at least domestically here in the U.S. Right. Just because that is such a popular thing. But then you got to, you know, so many locals and residents really just hate, you know, that space in there.
They do.
It's a difficult thing. And I don't have the answer either. But listeners out there, podcast@travelpulse.com, let us know your thoughts on the short term rental market. As we move over to theme park news and the entertainment side of travel, Universal Orlando, the Epic Universe, they unveiled new details about their Dark Universe land.
Yes.
With the rides. It's going to feature classic horror characters like Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein's Monster, the Bride of Frankenstein, and more across attractions, shops, restaurants, and meet and greets. There's going to be two main attractions here in they're calling it the Darkmoor land. As you enter through different portals inside Epic Universe, it's going to have a family-friendly spinning roller coaster called the Curse of the Werewolf, which if you have not seen the YouTube videos out there, people, go look at that. The animations look really cool on the spinning coaster.
Go check that out.
And then the big one is going to be taking place at the Frankenstein Manor, as it's called Monsters Unchained, the Frankenstein Experiment, where Dr. Victoria Frankenstein, who is the great-great-granddaughter of the original Dr. Frankenstein, is going to be conducting her twisted experiments as she tries to control all monsters, something Dracula doesn't take too kindly. And guests will see this play out in what Universal is calling, quote, an intense ride through the darkness as they try to evade the grasps of the Wolfman, the Mummy, the Creature of the Black Lagoon, and the Brides of Dracula and others. So, Adam, your thoughts on Epic Universe and all the details continue to drop?
My thoughts are they keep dropping the goods. My thoughts are that Epic Universe is going to change the theme park game in Central Florida. Everything that I hear and see, Dark Universe included to that, because you reviewed all those details well. I am so excited, because I'm a theme park guy, about what they will create. And I'm also so excited about what it will cause other people in the theme park space to do as well. So am I excited about Epic Universe? You better believe it. I'll be there. And number two, I think that the characters, the attractions, the intellectual properties that they're using are going to resonate with guests in a big way. Two things that I will say about Epic that I'm most looking forward to is the synchronization of theming throughout the entire park. So the portals that bring you to each particular land, I think that that is a really unique design. And I think some of that is lost in theme parks in 2024. And so I'm an OG theme park nerd. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And number two, they did something that I've been saying folks should do for a long time. And the only place that I can find it in the United States is with our friends in Disneyland, and that's the Grand Californian. And it's not really even inside of a theme park, but Universal Epic Universe is going to put a hotel in a theme park, and I think that's a phenomenal idea. So I stay at the Grand Californian because I want to be close to the parks. Yeah. I want to be in it. I want to sleep there. I want to feel it. I want to wake up and see it. I want early entry access. And I'm not saying they're doing all that, but I think that it's a possibility.
It would make sense.
That makes me excited about Epic. So those are just a couple of the things that I'm looking forward to in a big way.
Yeah, the hotel isn't being talked about as much because everyone is so excited about all the new rides, and we've known about the hotel for a little while, but you're spot on there, being right there in the center, and they do a good job with that at their Volcano Bay too, and you can just look up, you know, you wake up and you look out the window and you see the volcano, and you're going to be able to wake up at Epic Universe and take a look out, you know, at Harry Potter Land and, you know, the Dark Universe, and I'm not sure exactly what the views will look like, but I'm sure they're going to be epic is what they're going for on all themes here.
And Universal's also, Eric, been doing this rollout very strategically. Some of the travel advisor community is frustrated that we don't have an on-sale date yet for Universal.
I am waiting for that open date. I'm like, I want to know when in 25, right? When?
Yeah, we all want to know, but nobody has sat around in Universal's offices and said, oh, let's just randomly throw it out there. There's a plan. There's a strategy to this. They're revealing certain things at certain times, and I feel like the advisor community will get an opening date soon, although I don't have one. I think that we will get one soon. And I'm excited to hear when it is. I'm excited to be a part of it. I think that's going to begin to continue to change the theme park game in Orlando. Disney's already responded with the investments they're making.
I was just about to segue into that. Yeah, we got $17 billion for Disney got approved. So it's exciting to see how they, you know, compete against what Universal's announced with Epic Universe.
And, you know, I get this question so often in this space. Do you think that Universal will compete with Disney? I think that's actually the wrong question, because I don't know that we need to be comparing or contrasting or having these two theme parks compete with each other, even though inevitably we're human beings. It's human nature. It's what happens. I get it. But this is going to cause everyone to up their game. Everyone. Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, Dollywood, like there's upping game stuff all over the United States and around the world because of this. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
I love it. Yeah, the consumer wins here. If you're a fan of theme parks, you're going to be loving this. And with a name like Epic Universe, they had to bring it. And it appears that they are definitely doing that. So
yeah.
Sticking with the entertainment, we jump over to Netflix. They're going to debut Netflix House experiential entertainment venues in 2025. The first of two locations will open in King of Prussia in Pennsylvania, and then another one in Galleria Dallas in 2025. Both Netflix houses will occupy former department store locations and span more than 100,000 square feet, featuring unique entertainment, dining, and shopping experiences inspired by hit series like Bridgerton, Money Heist, Stranger Things, Squid Game, and more. So your thoughts on this, Adam? Are we going to see other streaming services follow suit with something similar?
Maybe we'll have to see if it works. I'm all about the entertainment industry, and I'm all about trying new ideas. When I read this particular article, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know that I would go out of my way or specifically travel to see one of these experiences, but I am familiar with the Galleria Dallas. I've been there a number of times because I've been in Dallas doing events for years. And I was like, okay, there have been some things gone out there. Maybe as folks are going through that environment, the question is, Eric, related to all of this is, what's the point? Are they trying to turn revenue? Is there a ticket to get into this? Is this something for free? Is this a mall thing? What IPs are they going to use? Do people care about those IPs? Is it kid friendly? There's a whole bunch of things to ask related to this that I don't know that we have all the answers to yet, but I'm going to be interested to find out. And you asked me another question of whether I believe that other streaming services will follow suit if it works. I think that it's definitely a possibility.
It seems like this is ripe for Amazon to like copycat. Yeah. You know, if it does well for Netflix, Amazon would be like, you know what? We've got warehouse spaces we can find. I mean, there's a lot of empty mall spaces out there, so it does.
You
feel
could
like
pick up your Amazon order while you go to the experience. Like, yeah,
there you go.
Right. It you never know. Like, and Disney, obviously, you know, I don't know that Disney will do something like this, even though they do have unique experiences. They have one rooted in Disney animation, actually, at the Calgary Stampede, but they're doing it where there are what I would call massive events anyway. It's not like, hey, come see this. There's already an event going on so you can go pop into this there. I don't know whether this will take off or last. When I read this article, I was like, it kind of ain't worth the buffalo dung on a nickel to me. But, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see.
Right. Yeah, it's something extra in the entertainment space. And it does kind of feel like it might have, you know, just a mall attraction type vibe to it. But Netflix is a powerhouse name, and it makes me wonder, you know,
the interesting thing will be, now that we're talking specifically Netflix, is if they will partner. You know, they bought the rights to WWE and their streaming services starting, I believe, in 2026. So Raw will be on there. And so Netflix is going to be streaming those things. I wonder if they're trying to get more brands like that in their queue to create some of these more interactive experiences as well.
Yeah, don't know. Live entertainment space stuff. Yeah, they've done different pop-ups and pop-up restaurant things and pop-up houses and things like that. Friend of mine used to work in that space, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see. You know, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought much about that on the WWE and the live entertainment aspect.
Sure, they're trying to acquire more properties, and that's been publicly stated as a goal of theirs. And when they got the rights to that streaming, I was like, oh, well, that's a big deal. That's a big IP organization, and now, of course, with their, you know, ownership under TKO and UFC involved, there's a lot of play in there, which I'm just kind of anxious to see what happens next there.
Yeah, same here. It's a massive fan base that they've tapped into, and they like to travel as well. So
they do.
Well, that wraps up what has been trending, a little bit of it at least. Any additional thoughts, you can drop me an email, podcast@travelpulse.com. Now we're going to jump over to our theme of the week on this show. It's the 2024 Summer Travel Outlook. Do you have clients asking you about guided touring and exciting destinations? How about river cruising? If you do, you probably heard of Globus Family of Brands. including Globus, Cosmos, and Avalon Waterways. The family of brands has also just launched a new travel advisor portal with exciting enhancements like the ability to share their itineraries with your contact details, not to mention new training modules that get you access to exciting perks and travel advisor discounts. Check it out at traveladvisorportal.com. Adam, we're going to dive right into it. What are this year's big summer travel trends in the way people are traveling?
We are seeing a lot of things consistently throughout our organization, and we're hearing these rumblings in the industry at large. Number one, Alaska, Canada is always really big in the summer. So that's been way, way, way up for this year as a destination. We're seeing Europe, and Europe has been massive for the last number of years. But this year specifically, Paris is hotter than ever because of the Olympics. The Olympics are happening in Paris. So people are sports tripping. They're going there and they're going to see the Olympics. They're going to stop in other countries, Prague, Belgium, France. They're going to do all kinds of stuff surrounding this. Another thing, Eric, that is a really interesting trend that we're seeing, and I have been unable to figure out why or how this happened, but Japan has just been massive for us. We have booked more Japan in 2024 than really our entire history as a company in 11 years combined. It's wild how many people are going to Japan.
Yeah, they're, speaking of the Olympics, you know, they had unfortunate time there where they had to push things back, and they really missed out on a big wave of tourism. And so it's nice to see that that is, you know, picking back up. They've done some different, you know, advertisement stuff, and they got a new campaign. I know they're also working on over-tourism aspect of things and implementing new fees and stuff. But it's nice to see, you know, that destination really kick back up, because they did have a rough go, you know, pandemic-wise. So that's interesting that you're a big kick there. And obviously, you know, summertime is ripe for so many family travel out there, and, you know, a lot of multi-gen family trips out there, and road trips, air trips. You're going to see a lot more kids, you know, out there this time of year. It's very natural in summertime. And then we kind of alluded to this earlier in the show, just the 4th of July, I think. I always looked at Memorial Day as like the unofficial kickoff of summer. So we're still, you know, last week was like the official, you know, summer solstice time period. But, you know, we've sort of been in summer here a little bit. So what have you seen that's really been impacting decision making for summer travelers, people that, you know, booked a while ago, or people that are still looking to book?
I think we're seeing a lot of things. So the question is a little bit not able to be pinpointed from what I'm seeing, but I'm gonna give you some trends that I'm noticing. We are noticing that people are booking farther in advance. However, we are additionally noticing that people are booking last minute as well. So I would call it probably in our organization a 65, 35, 65 in advance. And when I say advance, I mean between 5 to 10 months out, and then you know, kind of close in with, you know, 4 to 2 weeks out, or even the week of. We had a travel advisor tell us a story. Hey, I was on Icon of the Seas last week with my family, and we could do a whole nother episode about cruising with a 7-month-old if you want to talk about that, because that wasn't. We were blessed to have a lot of family memories. Let's just say that on that experience. But someone texted me in our organization and they said, hey, I know you're going on Icon next week. I just booked a party of 8 on Icon and it was 10 days before the sailing. So you don't know. You're seeing all kinds of it. However, we've been preaching pretty hard to try to get in advance of bookings, to try to get better pricing, more availability, the rooms you want. Air is cheaper, all those kinds of things. We keep hammering that home. So when someone does come to us and they experience the sticker shock, we kind of go, hey, we've been saying this a lot, and next time, don't wait for this if you want to do it, because the pricing could be exponentially different if you book it in advance.
Right. Yeah. Pricing is top of mind for so many people throughout the year, but especially, you know, when summertime is a period where so many people around the country, they lock in. This is when I can use my PTO. This is when I can actually travel. My kids are not in school. So,
right. Your kids have time off too, which is so huge.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you think advisors can best react to like pricing issues that some clients may have with the cost of travel being what it is? And if that's their biggest roadblock as a client when they come to an advisor, what would be your advice there?
We say to our travel advisors all the time, when you have a client that comes to you and is experiencing sticker shock, that it's a great opportunity, because we think you're going to have one of three results. They're going to do it anyway. And they're going to go, okay, this is expensive, but my family needs to go. We only have this opportunity once. Let's do it. They're going to not do it and do it next year, which is a great opportunity for us to have education with our clients to go, hey, just so you know, as you're thinking about this in the future, is we could do a last minute thing for you here, or even, you know, it has a lot of availability last minute in the summer, theme parks, because you would think that they would be more populated because kids are out of school, our organization actually finds that it's not the case. And that the reason that is, even though it's still busy, even though the reason that is because it's hot. It's just hot.
Yeah.
There, I mean, we were there last week for the Tiaros Bayou Adventure event, and you were on Lookout Key as well, right?
Yeah, and it was sweltering. Yes.
I don't know that I've ever been hotter than that moment in my life. And I'm a huge Disney fan. I'd go anytime. They're opening the Country Bear Musical Jamboree on July 17th. I'm the biggest Country Bear Jamboree fan on planet Earth. Like, I'll be there. I'm going to go, but families don't. So they're either going to book it anyway and spend the money. They're going to book it next year based on education that we give them, or they're going to walk away. And I have told our advisors for years, if someone walks away because they waited too long and that the availability isn't there or the pricing is too high for them, then keep them in your Rolodex. Keep them on the horn. Put them on your email list. Maybe connect with them via phone and text to be able to stay in front of them in the future, because I believe that they will eventually get this and learn how to do it. But they might. We think it's going to be one of those three options if they're sticker shocked.
Yeah, and I think that the key message there is not giving up. You know, keep them right in the Rolodex, I think, is a great, you know, way to end that out. Because like you said, some people are just going to say, man, that's really expensive, but darn it, I'm going, you know? And
right.
Which we love to see here in the industry.
We love to see. Yeah. We love to book those. In fact, we'll book them all day.
Yeah.
But we do want to also help the client get the best bang for their buck. We do really want to make sure that they are getting the experience that they want, and waiting until the last minute oftentimes doesn't get you your picture perfect experience that you want from a price standpoint, an availability standpoint, or a location standpoint.
So we've talked a little bit about last minute vacations, you know, mm-hmm. in the summertime here. Any additional messages that you would want to pass on to advisors as new clients call them up and say, hey, I want to leave in 2 weeks? And, you know, does that add a little bit of stress to the advisor, do you think?
Of course it adds stress, because now they're panicking to find what they need. And many places, especially if they're more boutique or popular in the summer, many places don't have it. And let's just take this for an example. If a client wants to fly in business class to Japan and they want to leave in 2 weeks, there's a chance that business class is full. Like, it's just the bottom line. And so we always prep our advisors to be understanding and calm. We're big about calm at Travelmation. We just are not big about panic. And I think that a lot of people panic, and I get advisors who are panicking a lot. And if it gets to my desk at this point, it's bad. Like, I've seen some panic at that level. And I always tell people, just remain calm. And I always tell our advisors, tell your clients who are booking last minute trips to remain calm. Let's take care of them if we can. If we can't meet their desires, let's redirect and say, have you ever thought about this instead? And then if that's a no-go, then let's say, well, when you're ready, let's circle back up to talk about how to book this thing a little farther in advance so we get you exactly what you want.
I think that's great insight there. So as we talk a little bit more about destinations, you mm-hmm. kind of alluded, you know, Paris obviously being hot. Europe is literally hot. I mean, the heat
literally
is getting to a lot of people. I myself am going to be experiencing that in a month, less than a month now. We're at 29 days. Yes, I've got the countdown going. I'm doing a Mediterranean cruise with Atlas Ocean Voyages. Really excited about
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. We're new to doing business with Atlas as well. And so I have actually never cruised the Med. Caitlin and I were scheduled to go, and then we have two young children. So we've decided that we're not taking them until they're age appropriate. We might go, but I think your Atlas experience will be phenomenal.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Grandma is watching the kids, so it's just me and the missus.
That's a gift.
So, yeah, we got married 10 years ago this year, and we did Greece. It was actually my first time ever leaving the country. I got my passport. My wife, she grew up traveling and stuff, and so I had never left the country. And my wife was like, you know, I wanted to go to Hawaii. Very typical, you know, American of me. I wanted to just go to Hawaii. Never been. Loved it. She had been a couple times, and she was like, no, I'm getting you a passport. We're getting out of the country, Eric. And then I got bit by the travel bug, and now here I am working in the travel industry, and I love it. So I know Greece is hot. You know, we're touching that. But any other destinations you're seeing that are hot? Anything that surprised you that's not as hot this summer as compared to
last year? Theme parks are not hot, and that did surprise me. You're seeing that they're trying to draw crowds there by opening new attractions during the summer. That does consistently surprise me in the industry that theme parks are not as hot as we'd like them to be, but I do believe that's a weather thing. I also think that Alaska has always been a May to September thing. That season there, we all know this. And Alaska for us this year has particularly been just wild in terms. We have groups going to Alaska, family reunions going to Alaska. I'm going to Alaska on the Celebrity Edge in 3 weeks. Like, it's just everybody seems to be going to Alaska. So Alaska is one of the hottest spots in terms of booking, and even a little cool so you can rest a little bit and not experience the hot temperatures as well.
I love that. Yeah, good for Alaska. They absolutely need that too. And they seem like they've been really taken off. You know, aside from the cruising, that was obviously very slower to come back post pandemic.
Right.
But yeah, land wise, I mean, there's a lot to see about Alaska and domestic. You know, Hawaii's got is always going to be busy at this time. Florida for sure is massive. I mean, you live there, so you know.
I do.
You know, the tourist crowds come and go. Any underrated destinations that for summer that. For anyone listening, looking for a last minute, you know, stuff, what would you recommend on the
continent? I know it's hot, but I would say an underrated destination that we've been seeing are families going. There's a train going by. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I don't know if our listeners heard that. But the underrated destinations that we've been seeing and talking about with our clients in the summertime, only because they can be a little bit cooler than the Caribbean. Don't get me wrong. They're hot there as well. Are larger cities. So New York, Chicago. Some people are going to Seattle before the Alaskan cruise. Obviously, there are places where you can go and experience the things where you don't really want to go during other times of the year, because I got engaged in Chicago. I know how brutally cold it is in November, and that's when we got engaged. And I have to go to New York every December for the Travel Weekly Awards. And I have to tell you, it's a chilly bird. Let me put it that way.
Yep.
And so we've been promoting and seeing a lot of these larger cities as unexpected destinations during the summer.
Interesting. Yeah, if you're from the south like I am, I much prefer to go up north during the summertime, because
right.
You know, I mean, I like snow, and you know, maybe I'll do, you know, ski trip or whatever, that sounds fun, but I can only handle so much for so long. Well, this has been great, Adam. As we wrap up here on the podcast, any closing advice to our travel advisor listeners for the summertime?
Great question. The summertime is the point in the year where we always encourage our travel advisors to check in on their goal. It's a great time to check in on your goal. If you've not set a yearly goal for what you'd like to sell for the year in terms of a dollar amount and how you're pacing for that, it should be a realistic goal. But the June timeframe is the time where we evaluate and see, hey, are we doing better? Are we pacing? Are we on point? Are we falling behind? And if we are, can we start to begin to push those things that are now really being promoted? Disney started their halfway to the holidays promotion yesterday. So you're going to start to see those things pick up. Halloween activities in Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal have started to pick up as well. So I would tell travel advisors, look at your goal. How you doing? How you doing as you step back and you evaluate where you want to be this year, where you want to end the year, and where you want to be for 2025. That's a good thing to do.
I love that insight right there. Yeah, we're midway point through the year here. The holiday time, bookings, I'm sure you're seeing several of those in your audience too. And pack your patience if you're traveling out there.
Pack your patience. Get it in the pocketbook or the backpack and pack it. Pack your patience.
Indeed. Well, thank you. Anything you want to plug here? Where can people get in touch with you or learn more about Travelmation if they've got any inquiries or follow on the socials?
If they want to learn more about us, they can go to our website, travelmation.net. My spot is on there as well. You can find me on Facebook, adam.duckworth, I believe. Maybe there's not a dot anymore. Our media team was working to take that out. And you can find me on Instagram as well. I'm there. I'm doing a bunch of travel stuff all the time. It's the world I live in. I love it. Hope to connect with you soon. Thanks for having me, Eric.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and Justin here and waking up early on the West Coast for this. So I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again to Adam for jumping on and talking all things travel here and some great insights for our travel advisor listeners. That's all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week and we'll be diving into more of the air travel side here. So stay tuned for more. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.